in which a person couldn't join unless they were white Anglo. And I wept. We had a congregation that was a disgrace to the name of Christ. I went into homes of people who said, I wouldn't come to that church because all of you are a bunch of bigots. And all I could do was say, I don't know what the reputation has been or what's been there in the past, but God's doing something different now. Talk to me about Ruben Valenzuela, who after 13 years of praying for him, he came to join with God's people because he said, even though I have hated people in this church, over the years, as God's done a new work, people have loved me and endured me and waited for me. And beloved, I don't care what campus you are on or how difficult the circumstances or what church you're in, I want you to know something. God is doing a work in this generation. And if you miss what God is doing, may God have mercy on your soul. He is calling unto himself from his people those who will invest their life. And it will hurt. It will cause you to lose a certain amount of prestige or advancement according to the standards of this world. But under God's eyes, God is doing a work. And his method is going to be as it has always been, that when there has been a surge of the Christian faith, it has been by those who are entrepreneurial, those who are advancing in business and such, and will take their profession. Your occupation and your vocation are not the same. Your vocation is take care of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And your occupation is how you make the money to support you in doing it. And it's laid on all of us, all of us. What's God's motivation? Look at verse 8. Having thus a fond affection for you, because you had become very dear to us. The word for fond affection means a strong, a yearning after. The root Greek word here is the word for remembrance. Now I know, as a college student, you know what it is to have a fond affection for someone, right? And the word here is the word of your own experience. Have you ever met someone that you just couldn't get them out of your mind and you didn't want to? Huh? You know what I mean? Now, the Apostle Paul says that whenever I write back to you Thessalonians there in the church in downtown Thessalonica, he says, you know what? I have a yearning for you. I mean, I like thinking about you guys. And you keep bugging me in my mind. And I can't get you out of my mind. And I don't want to. Because, he said, you have become very dear to us. The word here is agapetos. It comes from agape. But it's kind of like the Spanish. Because, see, if I want to talk to one of my sons, I say, hey, mijo, I want to talk to you, you know. That means my son, mijo. But if I want to let him know that I'm really thinking about him and he's dear to me, you call him mijito. See? If you want to tell someone they're fat, you call them gordo. Huh? I mean, that is big, baby. Okay. Now, anything can be fat. You know, burritos can be fat, gordo or anything. But then if you want to just tell a person, well, you're chubby, then you say gordito. Huh? Now, the Apostle Paul does not say, I love you, agape. He says, agapetos. He says, I mean, I really like you. Huh? You know one of the problems in Christian ministry today? You can have academic equipment and still not like people. And you know what? People aren't very much impressed with that. I want you to know something. I might be here in Glorieta today, But there are some people who I dearly love in Los Angeles. And they're not in Beverly Hills, and they're not in the places that you might hear of. They're in East LA. They're in the barrio. They're in places where there's graffiti on the walls and winos in the alleys. They're in the places where people have gone through multiple divorces. They're in the place where mothers are raising their children by themselves. They're in the place where a young man is struggling with homosexual activity. They're in the place where people have been hurt and abandoned and rejected. And I want you to know, every time I think of them, I love them. And I want you to know something else. There's some people who love me. And I mean, they really love me. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. And some people say, Tom, why do you raise your children there? I have three sons, Chris, Shane, and Matt. October the 28th, 2 years later, October the 28th, and 2 years later, October the 14th. And nobody's perfect. It was my wife's fault. I told her to hang on. I told her to wait. But I want you to know this, in the midst of ministry, that my oldest son has surrendered 2 years ago. He's 16 now. He surrendered to be a missionary. I don't know where he ever got an idea like that. And my middle son wants to be a teacher. He loves kids. And my youngest son is thinking of being an attorney or maybe a garbage truck driver. I don't know. He's a little bit undecided right now, but I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 quickly, and we need to close. 1 John chapter 2, in which the Scripture says in verses 3 and following, you see, it was this love element that motivated the Apostle Paul. And beloved, if you want to serve people in your generation, you need to ask God to break your heart to love people. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. I want you to notice that love is obedience-based. The one who says, well, I've come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. And the one who says he abides in Jesus ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. Do you want to be a motivated person? People have sometimes said to me, Tom, you are very enthusiastic. I wish you had your enthusiasm. I didn't always have it. I'll tell you how I got it. I first set my mind to obey the Word of God, regardless of how difficult it was, or regardless of whether anyone else was doing it. And I found that it's a very uncomfortable, but a very thrilling life to live your life in obedience to the Word without comparisons. And though I have many times struggled and failed, I can say that I know, God being my helper and my witness, that there is a direction towards obedience. And I can say to you, and God being my witness, if there is anything that I can do that is possible, I would serve you in any way that I am able for the sake of Christ being formed in you and you finding the will of God in your life. You do not know that for sure, but there is a group of those who know me, and some who know me closely, even as my staff and my family, who know that it's true. First, obey. For if you love God, obey His word. Secondly, by that obedience, become involved in other people's lives. Take the message to Him. share what God is doing in your life, if you will be honest about what God is doing in your life with other people, and if you will share the message of God with them, you become involved with them. They seek you out. And that involvement gives motivation. That's why too many times we try to urge people on and motivate them. It'll never work. People get under guilt trips, or they resist you and become angry with you. Motivation comes because someone is obeying the Word of God. You become involved in people's life, and that becomes, out of those experiences, tremendously and refreshingly motivational. God's motivation is for you to love people in such a way that you obey Him and you become involved in their life. God is the God who searched for you, and now He is sending you to search for others. If we are faithful to the message of God and would invest our life in ministry in the proper way, it will be in this way and in no other. It will be that you would say, Lord, in my lifetime, if indeed it is possible for the message of Christ to go to the ends of this inhabitable planet through my life, I want to be a part of that. And I will give myself to do it. And that means that whatever you are involved in, whatever your profession or your career, your major in college is, you take that and you say, Lord, through this I will glorify you. And beloved, if you want to know where the world is that we live in, you will never do it within the parameters of the United States. And I'm going to issue an encouragement. The world of this planet is happening in the third world. Now, if you argue with me on that, you don't know what you're saying. Okay? And at this point, I'll not trade my base of knowledge for your base of ignorance. Okay? And here's what I would like to ask you to do. If you are willing, I would encourage you that within the next year, I have changed in this because I've become more deeply convinced of it. That within the next year, you would plan to expose yourself to life outside the United States in order that you may capture the heart of God who is concerned about this planet knowing Jesus Christ. I know that as an American, you have the resources. I don't care how poor you are, you have the resources. And whether it is cutting back on money, whether it's talking to your parents or anything else, you have the resources, whether it's getting an extra job or something. What God is doing is bringing us to a historical event where within this generation, we will have the capacity to fulfill a prophecy of Scripture. Do not look for signs in the skies or secret raptures or anything else. This is the sign of His coming. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the entire planet as a witness, and then the end shall come. And for the first time since the first century, we have returned in the 20th century as we enter it into the generation that has the potential of seeing that happen. You, tonight, you are a part of that generation. And from this night until your grave, I charge you by the living God that you grapple with that fact. And may God help us all. For one day we shall stand before Him. And may you be blessed to bring trophies of adoration unto Him. I do not know if God will deal with your heart to be in the full-time gospel ministry as a pastor, a preacher, or missionary. But how can you use your profession, networking with your professors, looking towards overseas careers in order to go beyond the United States to invest your life towards the ends of the earth. And if you, God deals with you to stay here, then you will not be a tent maker, but a tent mailer. And you are responsible to use your resources to help others who are going. I believe that under the hand of God, the Foreign Mission Board of our denomination would be thrilled to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of applications for this next summer to go overseas. Because when you come back, you'll be different. You see, I have seen the crippled beggars of Bombay, and I have walked the streets of Madras in the Muslim section in the midnight hours. I have seen the rats in the poor areas of New Delhi. I have seen Bangkok and Jakarta and Manila and Mexico City. I have spent time in jail in Spain. I have seen what others have not seen. And I know I'm responsible. And beloved, if you want to live and invest your life, then take what God has gifted you with in your life, in your profession, and give it to the service of the King to go to the ends of the earth, and you will never, ever regret it. Let us pray. Our Father, caution us, for you have said that if we make vows rashly, we are not to return later and say, oops, I didn't mean it, or I didn't know what I was saying. Then, Father, I ask you that you would minister to us, that, Father, we may be like the early church and to experience what you gave to the early Christians, because we will obey you, O Lord of the universe, as our first brothers and sisters did also. If you are here tonight and you'd say, Brother Tom, I've never thought of my responsibility of me using my career for the advancement of the gospel. That through my profession, that the gospel could be preached to the ends of the earth. I'm willing, though I don't know all the answers, I'm willing to take whatever steps, ask questions, begin to investigate, do reading, and take it step by step. But something rings true, and God has spoken to me tonight. And from this night forward, unto God, He may do whatever He wants with my life. And I dedicate my career, my profession, and whatever it will be, to the furtherance of the gospel in my lifetime. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Second, I want to know the love of Christ that constrains me to share and be an instrument of reconciliation. I have never thought of it in this way, but if indeed our generation has turned a corner and what is happening on earth in the population of the nations is happening in the third world, then I am willing to invest within the next year a week or 2 weeks of my time in a third world nation. I'll talk to my BSU leader, director, my pastor, whoever. I'll contact the Foreign Mission Board. But to the best of my ability, I make the commitment now that I will spend some portion of my life in this next year in another nation, that God may teach me what's on His heart for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. I realize the risk in making this commitment, but I make it as unto God. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer and teach us, Lord, to invest our lives wisely so that, Lord, in every way, you might live your life through us, and that throughout the earth, your name would be glorified. And when we of this generation, not our fathers, not our grandparents, nor our grandchildren to come after us, but we in this generation would give ourselves in such a way that your will might be fulfilled through us, and we might take part in what you're doing in this generation. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.